Hello there again. Welcome to yet another episode of the City's Renew Show with me, your host, Kugonza Munyaka. On the previous episode, I and my guest talked about Bobi Wine riots, and you can listen to it too if you missed it. Today, we talk about yet another fundamental problem in Uganda, and that's the state and quality of Uganda's education system. Uganda's education system predates as early as one himself, as knowledge and practices were often passed from generation to generation within various tribal groups. Among the Nilotics, it was customary for young people to attend meetings of elders who had discussions of disputes among the people of the society. In Buganda, youth from the royal families were trained as royal pages in courts. But majority of boys and girls received basic education and were trained the patterns of acceptable economics, social and political behavior from their parents and elders in society. And this was commonly through storytelling, riddles, sports, and agricultural practices of farming and grazing. This was and is still considered as informal education. On the arrival of European missionaries, education shifted from the informal kind to a more formal kind, and education started taking place in gazetted areas, and these were called schools. And missionaries made it a habit to gather around them groups of natives and teach these some literacy. The main objective of this form of education was to teach Africans Christianity, as Western education became an important part of the process of conversion to Christianity. Most of the missionary groups required that a person must be able to read, and in some cases, be able to write before being accepted as a convert. So, formal education was more of a religious construct, as these missionaries believed that education would make a person appreciate Christianity and fully appreciate their responsibilities as a convert. Within the first group of missionaries that arrived in Uganda, that is in 1877, under the Church Missionary Society, the following which patients were represented: Lieutenant of the Royal Navy, trained engineer, architect, curate, skilled artisan, builder, and doctor. It is Alexander Mackay that stands out the most, as he established a workshop for ironwork, carpentry, and other artisan skills, which, with the help of trained natives, led to the building of a mission station. And this Alexander later on built a printing press that would also help in translating the Bible into local languages. And another phase of activities by the missionaries was to teach people how to improve crop growing methods. As the missionaries became more firmly established, the next step in educational development was to offer for a few an education more closely aligned with the European pattern, and they established boarding schools. They did so for several reasons. Firstly, the missionaries felt that in boarding school it would be easier to extend their influence onto the subjects. It would be difficult to influence children if they returned at the end of the day to their families and to a completely different environment that contraindicatory, that is contraindicatory to their teaching. Secondly, there was the problem of children walking long distances, and this would be solved if they didn't return to their families at night. This led to the establishment of the very first school in Uganda at Nyamirango in 1901 by the Mill Fathers. This Nyamirango became popular with the prominent Royal Catholic families in several of Kabaka's family. The Church Missionary Society opened a boarding school, Mengo High School, for sons of chiefs and girls. And for girls, Gayaza was opened in 1905. In 1906, the Kabaka granted a site for a school at Budo, and in his honor, it was named King's College. These schools were originally for prominent families, and the curriculum was designed to educate potential leaders with a heavy emphasis on English grammar, with reading of English books. Geography and mathematics were also studied. Primary school level and teacher training schools were the most active. The issue of lack of content to teach and financial constraints led to the introduction of workshops and technical skills training at King's College, Budo. And later, this workshop was turned over to Uganda company, which was better equipped to offer training in technical subjects. In 1904, the Church Missionary Society established the Board of Education and the Teacher Training College at Nyamirembe, and a midwife training school at Mengo Hospital. While the White Fathers opened a teacher training college at Rubaga, a school for technical education was built at Kara Vega by the Church Missionary Society, and one at Kisibi by the White Fathers, and all these were in the Unyoro province. Outside Uganda, education development came slowly, as it wasn't until 1911 that a high school was built in the Eastern province, and practically no secondary school was built in the area of the West Nile, and they actually till after the Verona Fathers became active after the end of World War II. So fast forward to 1925, a Department of Education was established and the Director of Education appointed, and this marked the gradual expansion of schools, increasing government subsidization of voluntary agencies operating schools, and greater government control over school management. And during the transition from government of colonial rule to full parliamentary government in 1961, the government had 6,086 government, local authority, and aided primary schools. And these had 248,921 boys and 121,515 girls enrolled, and that means 60% of primary school going age, that is from 6 to 11 years, were in school. The school charges were ranging from 20 to 60 shillings per child per year, and this coupled with an even economic distribution, so that was around in the northern area of Karamoja, here they had only 24% of that age group in school, while in more highly developed areas of Bunyoro, the figure was 82%. And secondary schools were approximately 4,476. Today, Uganda's education system is a 7-4-2-3-5 kind of system. That is 7 years for primary school, 4 years for junior secondary school or level, and 2 years for senior secondary school level, and 3 or up to 5 years of tertiary education. Uganda has a universal education for both primary and secondary school, and these were introduced in 1997 and 2007 respectively. Now, that looks like a plus to both the regime and its citizens, but let's dissect this system to see what it is really about. There are 20,305 primary schools, and these accommodate 10.7 pupils as of 2019, and these are taught by 207,000 primary school teachers, with a teacher to student ratio of 1 to 55, and this is on average, and it is from selected schools, but we all know of some schools that are full beyond capacity. But that's not the saddest part of this education system. In 2018, this system managed to pass only 11.8% of its pupils in Division 1, 41.6% passed in Division 2, and 46.6% failed. And that's almost half of those who sat for the PLE national exams in 2018. So you could easily say PLE is failing. But on the other hand, USE seems to be doing a bit well, because the country has 2 million students for secondary education that fill up 2,995 secondary schools with 604,966 teachers, with a teacher to student ratio of 1 to 22 as of 2017. And this has translated into an 87.2% of students who sat for UCE in 2018 passing, and only 12.8% failing. And for USCE, 99.1% passed, while only 0.9% failed. And it's pretty obvious that there is really a small number of students in secondary school compared to primary school. Actually, only 2% of pupils that sat for PLE in 2018 in UPE crossed over to secondary school. These dropout levels are alarming and need to be checked. The portal argues that this is because of school fees in UPE and USE and technical schools, as he wants education to be totally free. But this isn't practical at all. And here's why. A UNESCO report of 2014 indicated that capitation grants of UPE are insufficient to cover school budgets, and disbursement suffers many delays. And according to the capitation grant expenditure guidelines, government allocates shillings 7,560 for each child per term. I'll say it again. Each child in UPE is allocated shillings 7,560 shillings per term as of a report in 2014. And 50% of this amount goes to instructional materials such as chalk, textbooks, etc. Actually, in Champaji Primary School in Rakai District, whose head teacher, Miss Rhoda Nalu Nkuma, told the Daily Monitor that in the first term, the school received a capitation of 2.5 million Uganda shillings to cater for the 450 pupils that the school has. So, it's a public secret that UPE is underfunded, but worse still, the whole Ministry of Education and Sports in the financial year of 2019-2020 received 3.4 trillion Uganda shillings out of the 40.5 trillion Uganda shillings of the national budget. And this needs to change if the government is to improve the quality of UPE and of the entire education system. Earlier on the show, we talked about the ratio of teacher to student, and it was somewhat impressive. But what if we examine the quality of these teachers? As of 2017, 61% of primary school teachers were grade 3, and while 15% had a diploma in primary education, and only 0.4% are licensed, while 46% of secondary school teachers were graduates, 37% were grade 5, and only 0.6% were licensed. This is a poor quality of teachers we have, because majority of them aren't licensed to teach, so they are not licensed to teach by their respective bodies. So that means they can't be evaluated if they are fit to teach or not, but they're in class. But even still, these unlicensed teachers combined with the licensed teachers, they aren't enough to match the high standards for quality education required for one of the youngest populations in the world. Still, with all these challenges, the literacy level of Ugandans is at 75% as of 2019. But even with that achievement, Uganda's literacy and numeracy levels are still low compared to other East African countries, particularly in rural government-owned schools. With the void left behind by the government of Uganda and failure on its part to provide quality education, the citizens have turned to private schools, which have in turn exploited the already poor society. These private schools are one of the most profitable businesses in the land, as they charge exorbitant fees, with some charging as much as 1.5 million Uganda shillings per term in both primary and secondary school. And some early childhood centers charge within a range of 600,000 1,000 Uganda shillings. And only to pay that and become unemployed at the end of the day, because our 70% youth population has 80% of it unemployed. So all those degrees and diplomas and certificates go to bed. So to sum up this issue, I'll give just two recommendations on what government needs to do to improve this education system. Firstly, finance the education sector sufficiently to improve the quality of both UPE and USE, and this entails building of classrooms, staff quarters, washrooms, etc. And after that, equip these schools with instructional materials. Use these funds to further employ more teachers, licensed teachers, to guide these children through the education system. Secondly, the curriculum needs a total overhaul, as it's more theoretical than it is practical. So most of the graduates end up jobless with no clue on how to do a startup of any modern income generating society. Because, let's face it, the government cannot absorb all these unemployed youth who are educated, by the way. So the power that be at the Ministry of Education and government need to realign the curriculum to the reality of society. So, and do away with things that are not only abroad, but also are more exorbitant and have nothing to do with my sister deep down in Kabarak district. You can let me in the audience know of any other challenges or recommendations regarding the education system that we solely inherited from the colonial masters. And you can do that by leaving a voice message below. And thank you for listening. See you next time. Adios.